How do you treat inherited forms of long QT?
So the treatment depends on the severity. So what we'll do initially when we have a patient with suspected long QT syndrome is we will risk stratify them. So, and that risk stratification is based on, for example, how long their QT interval is. So, for example, if somebody's QT interval is very, very long, they have a higher risk.
How long?
So, you know, a long QT is by definition more than 460 or so. Women actually have a little bit longer QT than men, so our cutoffs are a little higher in women. But if it's above 460, that's considered long, and then it's very long when it's above 500. So if somebody has a very long QT, they are at a higher risk of events. If somebody's had a prior event, so a fainting spell, for example, or a resuscitated cardiac arrest, they're at a very high risk. And so we'll go through this process of risk stratifying them. The genetic testing can also be part of that. For example, certain genetic abnormalities or certain genes that are affected are higher risk than others. And once we've gone through that risk stratification, that'll help determine what the therapies are. And those therapies could be something as simple as, oh, this is mild, you just need to avoid taking medications that prolong the QT. Or if it's a higher risk, sometimes we'll treat patients with a beta blocker medication that can help prevent episodes of fainting and cardiac arrest. And then the most severe ones, for example, the people who have had a cardiac arrest and survived, or they have a very long QT and maybe have one of the worsened genetic mutations, will end up needing a defibrillator. The defibrillator is the device that will protect them from a cardiac arrest.
And it's implanted in the chest with wires or leads that go right into the heart.
That's right. It's basically a, like we call it, a paramedic in your chest. It kind of watches your heart. If you have one of these bad lethal rhythms, it'll protect you and resuscitate you.
For the most part, people with long QT syndrome, if they actually understand what's wrong, we'd be willing to have a defibrillator.
That's right. So if you have a severe abnormality and you've, for example, been resuscitated from a cardiac arrest, then we would say you are at a high risk of this happening again. We would recommend a defibrillator, and most patients would be willing to do that.
If you have a family member who has not had a cardiac arrest and by the screening process that you've done, discover that another sibling, for example, has a very long QT, would you suggest that they get a defibrillator?
That's a tough question. So it's pretty rare that we'll put a defibrillator in a patient who has never had a symptom. One thing to kind of take a step back and explain is that even though it is inherited and there's a 50% chance of getting the problem if your family member has it or your parent has it, there is what we would say variable penetrance, meaning that you could get the genetic abnormality, but it not be as severe. And so we'll always look for the genetic abnormality, but correlate that with symptoms and clinical manifestations. So if a patient has the clinical manifestation and they are high risk, then yes, sometimes we will put a defibrillator in. But most of the time, we'll use the defibrillator only in those patients who've had symptoms.
There are risks of having a defibrillator.
Absolutely. You know, having a device implanted in your chest for a long time has its risks. And when we're talking about young adults here, that's a long, long time to have a defibrillator. Defibrillators can have problems with their leads. They will need battery changes periodically. And so there's a major consequences to having defibrillators. So we only want to put them in people who absolutely need it.
If you have now received treatment of any of the kinds you've described, what's the outlook of somebody with long QT?
It's actually very good. You know, we have treatments for it that are very effective. Beta blockers, for example, are very effective medicines. Particularly for certain forms of long QT, there's the most common one, which is the long QT type 1, which is the one that's characterized by having episodes during exercise. That one is very, very treatable with beta blockers. And so it's actually quite rare that you need to use a defibrillator in those patients. And as long as the patient takes the beta blocker, then generally they could be very well protected and have a normal life.